You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 257, entitled How to Take Responsibility Over Your Life and Get Over the Victim Mentality, I chat with Chris Albert. Chris Albert is a training and nutrition coach, podcast host, and the creator of Warrior Soul Agoji. In today's episode, Chris talks about his past struggles with alcoholism, depression, and a crippling identity crisis that fueled his constant woes. He talks about not having a father growing up, his finding paternal guidance in the military, and his substance abuse and self-harming behavior when he ultimately got out of the military and lost his purpose. Chris also talks about how he dramatically changed his mindset and stopped thinking of himself as a victim, but instead as someone who was responsible for his life and who could create the life he truly wanted. If you're wondering how to take full ownership of everything that comes your way and cultivate a success-driven mindset in life, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Here's the truth. There are currently 450 million people globally who at any given minute harbor mental illness. Of these 450 million sufferers, 800,000 each year can no longer endure their mental affliction any further and end up taking their own lives. It's a sad but harsh reality of the world we live in. Far too many people are living unhappy lives and far too many people are dying because of it. This epidemic has to stop. But thus far, the studies only indicate that it's getting worse. We all know someone who has committed suicide, and for some of us, we may even know several individuals who have. It's a true tragedy in every sense of the word when we get that call, read that text, or see that social media post and wonder, what if, to ourselves. Suicide is the epitome of wasted talent and the quintessence of heartache. It has to stop. And it will. Elite Mind gives readers the precise tools to defeat their mental woes. Whether their fight is suicide or whether it's depression or whether it's the anxiety that's overthrown their day-to-day psyche, Elite Mind gives step-by-step strategies for mental mastery. For those needing eternal reprieve from their mental anguish, this book is a godsend. But Elite Mind's effect doesn't stop there. For as many millions of people as there are dealing with clinical mental illness, there are many millions more just floating by in life. The countless millions, perhaps even billions, who drift through life bored, lethargic and unhappy, it's almost as if they have no pulse, but in fact they do. They want to change and they want to have a life they actually enjoy. They're simply unaware of how to snap out of their self-imposed spell. Perhaps this sounds like you. If so, Elite Mind is the antidote you need. Through its compendium of action-packed strategies for success, distinctly exhilarating first-person narratives, and uproariously funny accounts of exemplary tales of mischief and adventure, Elite Mind will keep you on the edge of your seat while imparting the wisdom you need for change. Elite Mind not only shows you how to get back in the game, but how to thrive when you do. It guides you into unleashing your inner confidence, finding your true purpose, and cultivating happiness in life that you've only experienced in your wildest dreams. Elite Mind is the perfect blend of narrative allure and practical how-to. It takes the ordinarily mundane topic of mental health and entertains and excites you while simultaneously informing you and giving you a real-world account of how to win the battle with your mind and create the life you've always wanted. If you want to end your anxiety or depression, get this book. If you want to unleash your inner confidence, get this book. If you want to arm yourself with the tools needed to live an extraordinary life full of happiness and success, get this book. Stop wasting your time and life and order this book today. Pre-order right now. If you do like the Kindle copy, get it right now, elitemanmagazine.com/elitemind, or mark your calendars for January 28th, 2020, just a couple of short months away when you can actually get your hands on the paperback copy or listen to the audiobook. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from Elite Man Magazine, and my guest today is Chris Albert from Warrior Soul Podcast. Chris, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, man.
Thank you, brother. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, as I mentioned to you before, we actually had an interview like a month or so ago on your show, which was really fun, really cool, interesting. You know, it's a great energy and vibe when I was on the show. I do a lot of interviews, but for some reason, yours, when I was on your show, really stuck out. I think it's the work that you're doing and just kind of how you're presenting it to the world is really cool. So I wanted to bring you on my show, pick your brain and kind of see what you're all about.
Dude, podcasting is such an amazing thing. I think it's really in terms of revolutionary quality, it's on par with the Gutenberg printing press.
Yeah.
In terms of the amount of education people can get, what people can learn, how we can communicate with each other, it's just an amazing thing. And doing the Warrior Soul podcast has been one of the great pleasures of my life, because I get to serve the U.S. military veteran community, and we've been through a lot over the last decade and a half in the veteran community, and bringing people like you on to spread awesome knowledge and to help people to empower themselves. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's a hell of an analogy too, the Gutenberg printing press. I never thought of it that way, but it's so true. And you know, you see guys even like at the very, very top of the podcasting world, like the Joe Rogans of the world or Tim Ferriss's, you know, some of those huge guys, they like Rogan, I think, has like 100 million listeners or downloads a month. And, you know, he's had people like presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders and what's her name, Tulsi Gabbard, and some other people yep. have come on recently. And it's like they've been talking about actually having like a presidential debate on a medium such as podcasting, as opposed to having a live national TV debate, because there's so few viewers actually tuning into those debates. And it could be, you know, the quality of some of the candidates, of course, or maybe the boringness of the debate setup itself. But, you know, it's very interesting, and it's a very unique time where you and I get to share our opinion, our voices, express our feelings, and kind of have this movement where 10, 20, 30 years ago was not possible. And it's just becoming more and more popular. Like, you know, they're having that discussion, like I said, currently about having the biggest national important debates on a podcasting medium. That just goes to show you how popular it's become and how profound it can really be as far as reaching the viewers.
Well, I think people are so sick of just the one-liners, because I worked in politics for a little while after I got in the military, and I was a staffer for a congressman. And one of the things you notice is that they'll say the same things over and over and over again in these like little digestible sound bites, and they get trained to do that. And the thing is, with podcasting, it's different. You have more time. You're forced to clarify your thoughts. You're forced to actually say what you mean. And I think it's just such an amazing opportunity for all of us. And, you know, whether it's a big podcast with millions of downloads, whether it's a little podcast, you can get so much from the medium itself. And like I said, I absolutely love doing it. You know, with my podcast, I started 3 years ago, and it was just kind of like a spur of the moment thing. I said, man, I need to try and do podcasting, because I was listening to a bunch at the time. And I had this brand that I was working with veterans, and I thought it would just be a great way to get information out there to the community, to present solutions to a lot of the problems we were facing, like the veteran suicide problem, like the post-traumatic stress issue, and really not just keep veterans from killing themselves, but actually do things to help them to improve their lives so they can live great lives.
Yeah, so you actually were a Marine Corps veteran yourself, right?
Yes, sir. I served in the U.S. Marine Corps for 6 years.
Wow, man. Thanks for your service, first of all. Second of all, it's an incredible thing that you're doing, too, with your show. And I know it's kind of geared towards the veteran community. And like you said, a lot of them need a lot of help when they get out. And it's incredible to have that supporting hand and you know, like you're offering. And so many other guys, too, that I've talked to in the past. Andrew Marr comes to mind. He was a Green Beret. He's doing incredible work. I think he's the founder of Angels Foundation or something like that. But so many guys, you know, former veterans and stuff, they're helping each other out. They know that work needs to be done, and it's incredible. But like you said, there's the suicide rate, especially in the veteran community, is a lot higher than others. And I, you know, as you know, and the listeners know, I recently wrote the book Elite Mind, and one of the biggest like shocking stats that stuck out to me when I was doing the research behind it was that worldwide 800,000 people every single year commit suicide, and that's just a fucking unbelievable amount of people, and it's really a tragedy what's going on. But that rate and that number is even higher in the veteran community. Why do you think that is, and what are you doing to help that number go down and help those veterans get over that mental problem that, you know, some of them have when they get out of the military?
Well, I think there's a few different things going on. Like you said, suicide is a worldwide problem, right? It's yeah. it's particularly a problem amongst men. Men are far more likely to commit suicide. And when you think about what's happening in the veteran community. The veteran community is a microcosm of our society as a whole. I mean, we get people from all walks of life. We get people of all races. We get people from all economic backgrounds. So what we're talking about here is a human problem, essentially. Now, if you look at what's happened over the past decade and a half within the veteran community, obviously we fought two wars. But at the same time, if you actually look at the statistics of what's going on, about 60% of the veterans who are taking their own lives have actually never seen combat. So what's happening there, I think, is you have a situation with young people who are transitioning from one very, very intense period of their lives to another period of their lives. And they're doing so without necessarily having a plan or without a sense of what they're going to do after that great thing that they've done that is going to carry the same kind of meaning. And I think a lot of people, when they venture into the civilian world, at first they think, I know when I got out, I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to have so much freedom. I'm going to be able to go wherever I want to go, do whatever I want to do. But I got out and then it was just like, okay, now what? And that's when I started hitting the bottle. I developed a drinking problem. That's when I kind of, you know, I started, I guess you could say, following the pattern that most people follow, settling down, you know, allowing society to really determine my dreams for me rather than picking my own path. And that's where I started to fall off. And I know a lot of guys fall off that way. And if you venture into a period of your life where you don't have meaning, you don't have purpose, you're going to end up with this kind of just emotional dump where you realize that, you know, your life isn't what you really want it to be anymore. What you're doing is essentially living the way that other people think you should live. And I think that's where a lot of guys are falling off. And so what we do with the podcast is I wanted to always focus on solutions. You know, a lot of the content that was out there when I started, particularly around veterans, it was centered on one of two things, either entertainment and humor, or it was centered around raising awareness about the suicide issue. And, you know, we've got some great comedians in the veteran community and a lot of great talent there. And I'm all about humor, but I didn't think that was a solution either in and of itself. There needs to be work done to make sure that guys are getting on the right path. So when I decided to put this podcast together, I said two things. Number one, we're not going to talk about suicide or death. And my goal isn't just to keep veterans from killing themselves. It's to get them to actually live. So what we focus on are life solutions that they can implement right then and there, working on their fitness, working on their personal finances. And if I don't have an answer, what I do is I go out there much like you do, and I try to find some of the smartest people in the world to come and share their wisdom for the community.
It really is so important. And I think you touched on a couple of points, but I think the biggest thing that really sticks out to me, and just guessing here, because again, I'm not a veteran. I haven't really been around that community like you have and don't really understand it, but it sounds like, just interpreting what you're saying, that it is a sense of purpose that is missing when someone gets out of the military. You know, they've been in there for 4 years or 6 years or 8 or 10 years, and you know, they're doing something over and over again every day, and they have a mission to fulfill every day. They have a purpose as a human being, and you know, all of a sudden they get out of the military, it's like, what's next? You know, they accomplished great things. They served their country. They were patriotic. They had all these great accolades. But then they get out of the military, and it's just a void that I think a lot of them don't know how to fill. And so, like you said, you know, sometimes it's substance abuse, it's alcohol, or it's drugs, or it's depression in many cases. And they don't even understand why it's happening or really have any control over it in some cases. But I think that's probably a good hypothesis as to why it's happening and why that rate is so higher amongst these people as opposed to everyone else.
Yeah, well, I'll say a couple of things. Number one, I wrote an essay a couple of years ago that went viral, and it talked about why I was more free in the military than I ever was. And, you know, a lot of people look at that and they're like, how are you free in the Marine Corps? And the truth was, you know, number one, you don't have to worry about much. You don't have a lot of bills. You don't have debt yet. You're surrounded by friends. You have a singular focus. You know what you're supposed to be doing every day. And so that's a great feeling. You know, you're fulfilling that higher purpose. At the same time, one thing I want to come off of something you said, you might not think you understand what the veterans are going through, but I think you do, because a lot of the stuff you center your podcast on, you know, the idea of being a young man, of fulfilling a purpose, of fulfilling an archetype, that's the same thing as a lot of these young men and women are going through right now, right? They are human beings, and they go through a lot of the same stressors, a lot of the same things that a lot of your audience would go through. It's just that there's this other variable there. You know, by the time, if you serve in the Marine Corps, for example, and you join when you're 18, by the time you're 21, you know, you've led people, right? You've been responsible for millions of dollars of equipment. You've taken leadership positions that most people your age couldn't fathom. And so they go from that, and then they get put off into the civilian world, and, you know, they end up either in a civilian job or in school. And it's a different thing. They've got to relearn everything that they thought they knew already. And I think one of the things that veterans have to understand is that when you're entering that new realm, you are starting from zero. Like, you have your experiences, you have your leadership ability, you have all those skills that you've developed, but the people around you don't necessarily know that. And so you still got to earn that title. You still got to earn that position, and you still have to put the work in to continually develop yourself so that when you do get out, you're going to be able to find a mission, and you're going to be able to be presented with missions that are going to be on par with your skill level.
So true, man. And, you know, there's a lot that you're saying, I think, can resonate with a lot of the listeners too. Like, we talk all about having a purpose and fulfilling that and growing as a man. And, you know, no matter what walk of life you come from, what your background is or what your job is, I think there's a lot that can be said about being a man and living up to the person that you want to be, as opposed to just kind of, you know, floating by in life. Like, we talk about all the time, there's so many people, unfortunately, that just kind of sit on the sidelines of life and don't take action, don't take charge, don't actually go after the things that they want. And, you know, on this podcast, we're all about having and creating the life that you want to have. You mentioned a couple things about your personal life too, as well. And I think it goes back to sort of your background. You mentioned to me this, like, through email, we talked over the last couple of months. And so it turns out there was a thing with your father that went on. Can you just talk about that, where, like, you actually didn't realize that your father was your father, supposedly your father for years, wasn't actually your father. And this kind of messed with your head and sort of led into some of these alcoholic problems and some of the other things you mentioned where you were kind of struggling for a few years. Can you just talk about what that was exactly, and then what it is you started to do to pull yourself out of it?
Yeah, exactly, man. So I grew up without a dad, right? And so my mom, growing up, She was a single mom. She worked three jobs. She did everything she could for myself and my sister. And, you know, I never wanted for anything or anything like that. But I had this story that she always told me about my dad. And she had told me that my dad left when I was 2 years old. And, you know, growing up as a young man without a dad, without a male figure in your life, you know, what you got to do is you got to go out there and you got to search for it. And so I found that a lot of times with high school sports. I found it I got into powerlifting from an early age and was a state champion powerlifter when I was a teenager. And, you know, eventually found the Marine Corps and found male mentorship that way. But one of the things that happens there is that there's always this kind of lack of self-confidence that you have, because I had to figure out a lot of things for myself, right? I had to figure out girls for myself because my mom didn't provide much assistance for that. I had to figure out, you know, a lot of issues surrounding my manhood. And you know, I grew up, it was just me, my mom, my sister, and my aunt living in the same house. And so I had this thing in my head that constantly said, okay, maybe you're not good enough to be doing what you're doing. The same thing happened in the Marine Corps. The same thing happened eventually when I eventually got into college. And then I had this story running around in my head because my mom had said that my father was an alcoholic. And so when I fell into drinking, after I got out of the Marine Corps, you know, and I fell deep into it, I was drinking six, 7 nights a week at times. One of the things I was constantly telling myself was that, well, maybe this is how I am. Maybe I need the alcohol to be who I need to be. Maybe I deserve all this for some reason, right? And that came in conjunction with a lot of the survivor's guilt that I had from the Marines, because, you know, my deployments were fairly easy. My unit went back after I got out and had a few friends die. And so, you know, I started making these stories up in my head, that I was genetically predestined to be some kind of loser, that I was genetically predestined to be an alcoholic. And then I made up this crazy story in my head that said, you know what, I was supposed to die when I was in Iraq. And because I didn't die, this life I'm living right now is actually hell. And God is punishing me right now, and is going to ensure that I'm punished for the rest of my life because I didn't fulfill my destiny. And that those are the stories I was making up in my head. Wow. And, you know, as I'm going through that, things continually get worse, get in bad relationships, you know, eventually ended up living out of my car for a while, and, you know, eventually pulled myself out of it, you know, through online business, built up my own online training company, pulled myself out of the car, earned enough money to get out of the car into a rented room, and then out of the rented room and into an apartment, and built up my own brand. But what happened was, about a year ago, my girlfriend bought me a 23andMe because I suffer from an autoimmune disease called ulcerative colitis, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about my genetic background. And 23andMe came back, and the first thing that was off was, you know, my entire life, my mom told me I was Italian and German, right? And 23andMe comes back, and I'm actually mostly Ashkenazi Jewish. And so that was interesting. I said, Mom, what's going on? You know, was my father Jewish? And she said, oh, I didn't know that. She kind of wrote it off. And then about 6 months later, I get an alert on the 23andMe, and it says, you have a new DNA relative. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's a seventh cousin twice removed or something like that. And I look at the 23andMe, and it tells me I have a sister that I never knew about.
Wow.
And we get in touch. We're talking. And to make a long story short, what happened was I was actually an artificial insemination baby. The person who my mother told me was my father wasn't my father. My father was actually a medical student in New York City, and today is a doctor. And we haven't come in contact or anything like that. But what it goes to show you is, you know, your reality is based off of the lies you tell yourself. Right. If you tell yourself you're going to be a loser, if you tell yourself that you're too weak to handle this or that, then you're going to be too weak to handle it. But the reality was something so different than what I'd been told, that it gave me these amazing new insights on who I am, what's possible for me, and a lot of insights about how I need to change the language that's going on in my own head.
We're now in 2020, and with the new year comes new opportunities. Make this the year you advance your career by earning your master's degree. Get started today at Ashford University. Ashford University is higher education at your own pace. It's a WSCUC accredited institution that offers innovative online degree programs to help you achieve your higher education goals. Ashford University's flexible scheduling provides students with the opportunity to achieve higher education goals while still balancing work, home, and family life. Higher learning is more accessible than ever. Gain skills you can use in your job right now, and knowledge that prepares you for the market of tomorrow. We're all so busy nowadays, and our schedules are completely hectic, but the cool thing about Ashford University is that it allows you to study wherever you're comfortable learning and at your own pace. Ashford University's 6-week-long courses allow you to take one course at a time, and being enrolled in one class at Ashford means you are considered a full-time student. Plus, it's super easy enrollment. The GRE, GMAT, and other standardized test scores are not required for enrolling at Ashford University. Seriously, what's there not to love about Ashford University? It's convenient, it's flexible, it's super easy to enroll in it, and it helps you get to that next level in your career. So get ready to grab new opportunities. Start your master's degree today. Enroll by going to ashford.edu/eliteman. That's ashford.edu/eliteman to start your master's degree today. ashford.edu/eliteman.
That's incredible, man. It's a really incredible story. And we'll touch on a couple of things. Just on the last point, though, that you mentioned, that you created that whole story in your head. You created the fact that your father, you know, your alleged father was an alcoholic. And so in your mind, you were destined to basically be an alcoholic yourself. And, you know, even like if you talk about like epigenetics and stuff, you're turning on all the genes in your body that probably coincide with someone who's an alcoholic, even though you really didn't have those genes that, you know, were predisposed to be someone who's an alcoholic. I'm just wondering in my own head, if your mother had said your father was, you know, a doctor and he was a great man and he died in a car accident, and just said that story instead, and he was this, you know, hero and did all this other stuff, how would your life be different, or would it have gone differently with that story in your head instead of a guy who just like left you and, you know, you had like the negative story? What if it was just a positive one? I you know, my guess is it would have been completely different and you wouldn't have had some of those issues with alcohol and some of the other things. But it's very interesting that you bring that up, and that you are aware of the fact that, you know, you created that story in your head. And we all create the stories of what we believe and what we're told and, you know, passed down. Because why would we not believe something from such a young age? And first of all, what are your thoughts now about the whole subject? Like, is it a sensitive area to you? Do you want to actually meet this guy at some point in real life? Or like, what are your thoughts now?
To be honest with you, I don't want to invade his life, because he didn't sign up for that, right? Back in the 1970s when this was happening, they didn't know 23andMe was going to come out or anything like that, right? You know, in some of the things that you're talking about, I went through that in my own head for a little bit, right? Trying to think of, well, if I just had known this, or if I just known that, then maybe my life would have been completely different. Maybe I wouldn't have gone through all this stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm actually happy things worked out the way they did. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because my scars that I carry around with me, the things I've been through, they are what makes me strong. They are what makes me me. And I couldn't do this work that I'm doing, right? Talking to veterans, talking to them about getting through hard times, talking to them about how to be more resilient and how to integrate the events in their lives, for good or for bad, into their being, so that they could harden themselves and steel themselves so that they can succeed in the world. I wouldn't be able to do that if I hadn't gone through that. And so at the end of the day, everything happened the way it was supposed to. And the first thing I did was I immediately forgave my mother, because one of the things I got from this is that, you know what? My mother really wanted me. She really wanted me to be on this earth. She really wanted me to be her son. And she, in a time and place where women weren't supposed to get artificial inseminations if they were single, she did what she needed to do to bring me to this earth. And so I love her for that. You know, I could have sat there and I could have been like, well, I'm going to write this woman off, all these things. But I think that would have been so counterproductive to who I am. And it probably would have set me back further, you know?
Yeah. The thinking of like, you know, what if it was this, or what if it was that, what if she told you a different story? And it's all really hypothetical nonsense, really, because at the end of the day, you are who you are for a reason. And I think everything happens for a reason. And we grow from those lessons in life that come our way, like all these struggles, all these challenges, all the, you know, alcoholic and all the crap that you've gone through in your life. Definitely, like you said, put you in the place that you're in today now. And look at what you're doing now. You're helping so many people out, so many veterans, doing incredible work with your show. I mean, you wouldn't be in that position. You know what you probably would have been? You would have been like some, you know, just kind of boring doctor working in a lab somewhere. If you had that other story, you wouldn't be the Chris Albert that you are now, you know, this badass dude who helps a ton of people out and just has a way more interesting and fun life. Yeah, there was a, you know, a period where you were struggling, but it all came together because you learned from those lessons. Like, everyone listening right now can learn from all the crap that they've gone through and it actually makes them. Actually, it's funny too. I put it in a chapter in the book. People who have gone through the most struggles, they're the types of people who end up having like these superpowers, is what I call them. Like, they have an ability to be more resilient and tough and have this courageous just energy and ability to overcome and adapt to any situation that comes their way. And other people who have great lives or seem like they have like a silver platter type of lives, they don't have that backbone. They don't have that resiliency in them because they haven't gone through the shit that you've gone through or the next person's gone through. So it's pretty cool, man, that you're able to recognize that and use that to your advantage now.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a big thing. And that came to me, I think, later in life, right? Like in my 30s, after I'd gone through a lot of stuff I was going through in my 20s, because when I was in my 20s, it was all about victim mode, right? If I've got problems, it's because of the Marine Corps, right? Because the society doesn't want to accept veterans back and give them a job and all these different things. And, you know, I told myself those stories too. And I see a lot of people in my community who are treating themselves like victims. And you know what? I get you went out there, you served your country. And I have so much respect for that. And there's so much honor to that. But at the same time, it should be one of the greatest things you've done in your life. And if you want to do more great things, it's up to you. You have to bear the burden in order to do that. I just interviewed a guy named Forrest Munden, and he's got a podcast called Back Builders. I'm going to plug him real quick. But you know, what you want to do is you want to build a strong back to bear that burden, and you need to continually bear it, because the second you decide you're not going to bear it anymore, what you're going to do is you're going to sit on the couch, you're going to vegetate, and then all those skills, all those leadership skills you learn, all those things that you've been through, they're going to have been for nothing. And that's true, of course, for veterans, but it's also true for all the audience members out there. All those things, each and every one of you at a different point in your life, you faced something that was a challenge and you overcame it, right? Whether that was trying to figure out math when you were in high school, whether it was trying to make the football team, whether it was trying to find the girl of your dreams or trying to get your first date, you figured something out at some point in your life. And the second you decide, okay, I'm not going to try and figure anything out anymore, I'm not going to try and learn anything new, is the second you decide that you're going to start allowing those skills to perish and a little bit of yourself to perish along with it.
So what is the biggest thing for guys listening who may suffer? And I actually made a video too recently about the millennial generation and how many, not all, but many millennials tend to be of this victim mindset. But what are your thoughts on that? How do you get past that as a millennial or just as anybody, having that victim mindset and feeling like other people owe you things or that, you know, you're entitled to different things? What do you do to break past that?
There's a couple of different things. Number one, you've got to realize that popular culture as it is today is trying to get you into that mindset. Right? Yeah, it's trying to get you into the mindset. If you watch the media, if you listen to what they're saying, they are constantly trying to turn people into victims. And we have this tendency within us, where we are constantly trying to figure out a way that we can make an excuse for why things haven't gone the way we have. You've got to realize that that is within you. And whenever somebody brings it up to you, there's going to be this natural thing inside of you that says, wait a minute. Yeah, that's why my life the way it is the way it is. It's because of that. The other thing to realize is that there is an element of control here. There is an element of control. If you are the victim and you want to turn yourself into a protected class or a protected citizen or anything like that, what the government or not just the government, but anybody else can do is they have an easy way of manipulating you by saying, okay, we're going to give you this or we're going to give you that, and this is going to entitle you to this. And the thing about that is that with entitlement, there's always a cost, right? So if you are taking, for example, I'm in the VA system right now, right? I get free medical care, which obviously if veterans have dealt with injuries or dealt with chronic disease, that's a necessity. At the same time, because I have ulcerative colitis, if I want to try certain treatments, those treatments are unavailable to me, Why? Because I'm following the government's formula. I'm doing what they tell me I need to do. And that's something that I've accepted because I'm making that trade. But the same is true with any other entitlement, right? But essentially what you're doing is you're building dependence of yourself on some external factor that is going to fix your problem for you. And the big lie of all this is that there is no angel from heaven that's going to come down and fix everything for you. There is no person out there who's going to come and fix your life for you. At the end of the day, every single one of us is going to face death, right? We're all going to die at some point. And because we're all going to die, well, guess what? The time between now and then, that's ours. And so if you want to sit around and wait for a solution, if you want to wait for somebody else to do something for you, or you're going to be waiting for a long time. But then you have this other choice that says, well, maybe if I stop treating myself as a victim, maybe if I stop waiting, maybe I can find a solution. Maybe I can implement that solution for myself. Maybe that's going to teach me something that's going to strengthen me. And maybe, you know, if I do it the right way, I'll be able to take that solution and I'll be able to tell other people about it. And you know, we have this amazing opportunity these days where people can do that. They can begin entire businesses off of finding solutions to problems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes back to not just being entitled or having that victim attitude, but also just being content with having a mediocre life or just kind of letting life pass you by. And I know you were like this for a number of years too when you're going through your struggle, and it was sort of conditioned into you unwittingly from your mother as well. Like, she wanted the best for you, like all mothers do, but she kind of also instilled like this, you know, take it easy and don't push yourself, or if it's going too hard, try something else kind of attitude, right?
Right, exactly. You know, growing up with my mom, she was very much of the mindset like, okay, you're pushing too hard here, right? Why don't you give yourself a break? Why don't you pull back? You know, and that's the thing. Like, and I don't want kids to be so hard on themselves that they're constantly pressuring themselves. But at the same time, we need to seek challenge. We need to seek struggle, because the best things in life, if you're going to find yourself, it's not going to be while life is easy. You're going to find who you are and what you're made of by finding and embracing a real struggle in your life. That's where the meaning is going to come from. And the absolute best way to do this is to take the focus off of yourself and put it onto other people. Figure out a way that you can dedicate yourself to something that's going to help other people. And from that, you'll be able to find meaning. And if you find meaning, then you're going to have something that's going to get you up in the morning. You're going to find something that's going to keep you in shape, right? Because you need to be in shape. You need to be your best to face that struggle. And if you don't do that, then what happens is you just let yourself fall off, and you grow complacent and you seek comfort. And if you're seeking comfort, comfort's just going to keep you right in the same spot over and over again.
Yeah, I always tell guys too, you have to push yourself outside your comfort zone, whether that's doing something crazy socially, like a dance class or acting class, or talking to women. If you're, you know, a single guy out there, you're trying to get more dates, you have to, you know, step outside and actually approach women and talk to them if you want to actually get dates, because they're not just going to come up to you. Like, and that's not a comfortable thing for most guys. That's one of the scariest things you can do, is just go and talk to a beautiful girl at the bar or whatever. But, you know, we're living in this life where all these social constructs around us just kind of define what we're going to do on a day-to-day basis, because we don't want to step outside the boundaries, so to speak, of what's acceptable or what other people are doing. But true happiness, I believe, comes from doing things that fulfill you. And the things that fulfill you the most are the things that you don't really know that you can do, but you want to do. There's something inside you that's pushing you or pulling you towards something, and you have a desire to do it because you want that end result. But most people are too scared to actually go out and step outside and try those things. But I'm telling you that the happiness really comes from doing those things and then realizing that you're okay once you do them. Even if you don't get that end result, you're fulfilled in knowing that you tried to go after it.
Exactly. And here's the other thing, because I, you know, as we're recording this right now, we're at the beginning of the year, not sure when it's going to be published, but when I think about the way people set goals, a lot of times you think about the reason why you set the goals you've set. A lot of times it's because, well, society's telling you that's a good goal to go for, right? And here's the thing. If you look at actually look at studies on goal setting, most people fail badly at their goals. Like it's something like 8% of people who actually set New Year's resolutions actually fulfill them, right? And most people have given up within the first week, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? So let's take like losing weight, right? Because that's where I come from with the fitness industry. If you want to lose weight, you really got to think about, well, why do you want to lose weight? Because if you're just doing it for the satisfaction of seeing the scale, or if you're just doing it for vanity purposes, or if you're just doing it to fit in those pants that you always wanted to fit into, well, what's going to happen is eventually, you know, once the initial elation of going after the goal wears off, well, you got a job, right? You might have kids, you have other responsibilities that you have to go after, right? And so when you're going after those responsibilities, well, at the end of the day, you're tired. And so what happens is you don't integrate that goal with who you are and what your purpose on this earth is. And so the goal becomes a luxury and losing weight becomes a luxury. And so you let it fall by the wayside. But if you actually sit there and you actually think, well, why do I want to lose weight? Well, I want to lose weight because I want to be there for my son or my daughter. Because I am running this business right now and I need to look my best if I want to be successful, or I want to feel better. I want to feel better as I'm doing my work, and I want to perform my best. And that's going to help me to fulfill my purpose in why I'm here on this earth. Well, you got to attach it to that higher meaning. Otherwise, that goal is going to go the way of the dodo. You're going to get rid of it so quick. If you don't have meaning attached there.
Yeah, you need that meaning behind what you're actually doing, because if you don't have the meaning, there's just nothing that's going to motivate you every day. Like you said, most people, 8% will end up seeing a result, and you know, most people will go a week and then they'll just stop doing it because there's no thing that's actually fueling them. You need that fuel. That fuel is that motivation that gets you up out of bed and gets you excited, and you know, you're actually looking forward to doing whatever you have to do to reach your goal, because at the end of the day, you're thinking about that goal constantly. It has to be something that really pushes you and fuels you, because if it's not meaningful, it's just not going to be done. Human beings are just too distracted, especially nowadays. We get so distracted with everything that pops up in our lives. We need something to really give us meaning and purpose, to give us that energy that we need to go out and do the actions to actually get the goal done.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can't chase meaning or purpose. It's got to come. If you ever read Viktor Frankl, he says this: you can't chase it. You can't chase it with money. You can't chase it for anything. It's got to come from the struggle. It's got to come from the struggle you're in.
Yeah, man. So just kind of wrapping things up in a moment, what is the last send-off takeaway message you'd like to leave, Chris, for our Elite Man audience regarding claiming your identity as a man, or getting past the victim mentality, or just something in general for getting men to think about things on a different level in the upcoming year especially?
The biggest thing I will say is this. Number one, no matter what you're going through right now, understand that for every problem you have, there is a potential solution there. If you put the work into really thinking about how you can solve it, and if you run away from that problem is going to be there forever. It's always going to be there. But if you stand your ground and you actually put the work into solving that issue, what you've got there is a ticket to living such a better life, a ticket to stepping into your identity. Because once you solve a problem for yourself, once you overcome something, that means you can overcome anything. That means you can put yourself into a position where you can do so many amazing things. So what I would say is, stepping into 2020, stop looking at your problems as problems. Start looking at them as opportunities. Look at them as opportunities to become better, to become stronger, to become a new person. Don't sit there and try to think about all these different ways that you can change if you're ignoring the problems that are staring you right in your face. Don't run away from those.
Love it, man. That's such an awesome message. And I know our guys are going to love this episode. So many great takeaways in this one. So Chris, what's a website or resource you'd like to send guys to? What are you working on right now?
Yeah, so we've got the Warrior Soul podcast. That's up on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all the platforms. My main website is the Warrior Soul Agoge. That's www.warriorsoulagoge.com. We've got a great mastermind group in there. It's called the Warriors Obituary Society. And basically, it's a group for men where we work on empowering each other to live absolutely epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And it's got an 8-week development program in there. We help our members to customize their own fitness plans, customize their own personal finance plans. We help them work on career goals, work on their business goals if they have them, work on building relationships. We get together on live calls each week, and then we've got our own private platform where we're constantly communicating. And it's really an accountability group to push each other to higher levels every single month. And so you can find that up at www.warriorobituarysociety.com. And of course, you can always connect with me on social media. My Instagram is warriorsoulagoge, same as the website, or you can connect with me on Twitter at warriorsoulgear. That's G-E-A-R.
Nice. Chris, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. Like I said, Noah, guys are going to love this one. So I'll talk to you soon, brother. Take care.
Definitely, man. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Hey, just a quick reminder, just about all the links that we reference throughout the episodes can be found within the show notes. So if you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or if you're just listening directly on the website at elitemanmagazine.com, just scroll down to the bottom and you can see most of the show's links directly there. Just assume that all the links are affiliate links. Not all of them, but many of them are, but assume that they all are. And by you clicking on that link, it's just a small contribution to help continue the Elite Man podcast. I don't get a ton of money out of the affiliate links that we have on there, but I do get a small, tiny percentage of what you end up purchasing with no extra charge on your end. So just think of it as a charity gift donation to the Elite Man podcast for giving you tremendous content week in and week out. I sincerely appreciate when you purchase a book or product or service from one of these links, and so don't the authors and guests who come on the show and deliver their incredible value. So make sure you check out those show notes when you do want to make a purchase or check something out even further. It helps me out, it helps the guests out, and it helps the show out. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.